Hello everyone, I'm Sunil Depkota. I have Tony DeRosa with me. We will talk about his experience of Bookster. We are in Indian restaurant, Taste of India, so please excuse me with the background noises. So, hello Tony.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine.
Tony, do you read a lot of books?
I do, yes.
You do? What's your favorite books?
My favorite books are fantasy, science fiction. Mm-hmm. I grew up on Sword and the Stone, mm-hmm. a lot of old medieval mm-hmm. texts when I was younger, so yeah.
Alright. Do you have any favorite bookstore?
Old bookstores. Bookstores you can go in and get just old books.
Any specific?
Well, right now we got cookbooks.
Cookbooks?
I write a cookbook, so uh-huh. I kind of troll through the old cookbooks and get ideas.
Alright. And what is your favorite thing about the bookstore?
Quiet. Favorite thing about the bookstore is quiet. You can find a corner and no one would bother you. Yeah. And you can read anything you want.
Alright. And do you have any specific, name or the bookstore that you like to go often, or that you?
Oh, in terms of chain bookstores, mm-hmm. no. I mean, because New York has a lot of independents, like mm-hmm. the Strand, mm-hmm. Which is a huge bookstore. You can get new and used books there. Mm-hmm. It's in Manhattan. But yeah, I mean, where did I go? Barnes and Noble, mm-hmm. Borders, those kind of bookstores are always around someplace. Mm-hmm.
What do you like best about Barnes & Noble? Why do you like to go in Barnes & Noble? What's the difference?
Barnes & Noble, I tend to just kind of peruse, mm-hmm. look at the titles. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I would kind of go through the books, and since I didn't know any of the authors, mm-hmm. I would go by the pictures, mm-hmm. like the cover art. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of picked out like medieval and fantasy books, like mm-hmm. Isaac Asimov and things like that, because they have the best like cover art. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you read them, then you're like, oh, I want to read more of this guy.
Right.
You know, so definitely just perusing the shelves, mm-hmm. just seeing all the books are made in front of you, mm-hmm. and kind of just pulling it out, reading the first two sentences. Oh, I don't like that. You know, pulling another out, reading the first two sentences.
Pretty bad. What do you think the layout of a bookstore that Barnes & Noble have?
I think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you go through the entrance, do they have different category of different section?
I see. I guess it's logical, mm-hmm. in that kind of a sense. You know, your travel books, cookbooks, mm-hmm. your fantasy books, your regular fiction books. I mean, it's just... Actually, that's one good thing about like Barnes & Noble, because mm-hmm. you can see who likes what. Uh-huh. If you like just fiction or like, you know, lurid, like sexy books, uh-huh. like you see those guys just sitting there, and then you see the guys like in the science fiction section, and like it's all kids like me, you know, that are just kind of picking them up. But
I think the thing about Barnes & Noble now is that it's kind of morphed itself into attracting people from regular kind of merchandise mm-hmm. experience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about a traditional bookstore mm-hmm. of 30, 40 years ago, it was kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a secret, musty.
Yeah.
The shelves went to the ceiling and you couldn't see around corners.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt a lot less light and airy.
How hot is
and a lot
medium?
Less... inviting them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now the Barnes & Noble experience is one where they encourage you to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
They encourage you to have a cup of coffee while you read a book off the shelf, even if you're not going to buy it.
Well, you've already bought the cup of coffee.
Right. Right. You don't have to buy the book or even the magazine,
mm-hmm.
which is a completely new kind of way of merchandising.
There's a lot more games too, I think, in mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble. There's like a whole section
mm.
of like word games or puzzles or, you know, even merchandise. I'm sure I haven't been in the Barnes & Noble in
music
maybe half
too.
A year,
mm-hmm.
only because I have enough books. Plus I have now an iPad,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
so I kind of download them now. Mm-hmm. But last time I was in, just the amount of Star Wars, the whole section just yeah. Star Wars merchandise. They weren't even book related, you know? It was like Star Wars tins, and like there was like a Lego set for Star Wars, you know? Like, it just doesn't really belong in a bookstore, but
cross-referencing.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about digitalizing the books right now, I mean, it's going in internet, it's online, you read in your iPad. What is the difference between going in a bookstore and reading books in iPad?
Well, I'm a like a old person, so I like the feel.
I want the hard copy too.
However, I am sort of getting into the iPad because I can put like 25 books on my iPad. And I don't have to worry about, oh, when this book is done, am I going to have another book? You know? We just moved, sorry. 22 people know. This woman over here, she knows. So I'm pulling out books from a box. And she's like, what books are these? Like, these are emergency books. It's like, back in the day, you had to have a couple of emergency books in case you were like going on a trip. Oh, I don't have time to go to the bookstore and find a book, you know, because that takes hours. Like, you know, to find the right book. So I just have emergency books stashed away,
ready to read,
you know, and they're books that I don't care too much to read, but they're just, it's like fluff. Because you read magazines, and then you read Mind Candy, which is basically what fantasy science fiction is. It's just candy. But, I mean, it is social metaphor, too, so.
I don't like reading on a screen. I want a hard copy. I want to feel the page.
Yeah.
And the way in which I choose a book is as much to do with the font and the size of the font and the layout of the page as it is to do with content. I'm not even going to read the word. But I don't want to read it on an iPad.
Well, no, I'm with you. I've always liked a book.
I want to feel. I want to hold it.
Because you can dog ear it, you can
put a book underline it, you can write on it.
You can highlight it.
Highlight, because a lot of books, were history books. I've got a whole like shelf of history books that, you know, I was a history minor, but I never really took it farther, so it was just a hobby. But yeah, I have books that are just marked up with just random
stuff or
stuff I wanted to remember, so I stuck something in there and put it back in, and like 5 years later, it's like, oh, I remember why I did that. So, yeah.
My daughter is currently doing an MBA online, and she bought the books for this course, and then she was told she had to do all the reading online.
How do they know?
Because there's added stuff online that isn't in the books. So she had to sell the books. She couldn't do the course.
I got my master's online, and they said that all of the books were... all of the reading, not the entire book, but at least the reading was available online, and I still bought the book because I want to go further. Like, I don't care about just chapter 5. I want to know what 1, 2, and 3 say.
And, I mean, when you talk about the commercialization of bookstore right now, the bookstore only doesn't have books only, right? They do have lots of
other stuff.
Merchandise. Yeah, merchandise, right? What do you think about that? Should they have merchandise or just should they sell only books?
Well, to be honest with you, what I like and what reality is is two different things. Like, yes, I would like to just go into a bookstore.
Sure.
Not be inundated with merchandise. However, I do realize that, A, people are downloading books online for free. So, you know, their book sales are probably not what they should be to keep that bookstore open. So, yes, I understand the need for it. I don't necessarily like it, but it is what it is. You know?
I have to say, I do like being able to go to a bookstore and have a cup of coffee at the same time as sitting there browsing. I think that's a good combination.
Thank you.
That's your order.
It's all for her.
So if bookstores sold this,
she would be there.
I'll squeeze the lemon on
the
coffee.
And...
well, I mean, yeah, there is something to be said because, I mean, what would you do after you bought a book, right? You take the book to your local cafe and you'd probably sit outside and read that book. So, yeah, if bookstores were a little bit more like cafes, I think it would be more palatable. But when you just go in and it's raw selling, we're going to buy this puzzle and you're going to buy this and you're going to buy this. And, you want to buy a Star Wars book? Oh, wait, well, you got a t-shirt for that and a helmet for that, too. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit off-putting. But, These days you gotta make your money any way you can, you know. So I don't,
especially if you're competing with Amazon.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
And I don't blame them for that. But Amazon, you can't read the book first. Amazon,
yeah,
you can't.
So think about how Barnes & Noble serves Amazon. Because you go into Barnes & Noble, you look at the book, and you say, okay, I'm now going to go home and order it from Amazon. So you become the search engine that serves Amazon.
Or you can do, like, you know, most of the kids out there, you can go to Pirate Bay and just download the PDF of the book.
Yeah, PDF album.
I don't need to pay
for anything.
I'm lacking.
Do you guys have any personal experience or any memorable moments related with books? When you read any books, or this is my story, or this, some kind of any experience with any books?
You mean particular book?
Yeah, particular book.
Actually, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could, like, because I've had a lot of epiphany moments, like, oh, you know, like, this is what life is about. You know what I mean? Like, you're reading something like that. But when I was a child, it was always a personal source of pride with how big the book was. Right? So in kindergarten, you get a 20-page book. Right? My first grade, I was reading, like, 70 to 80-page books. And by that point, I was like, well, I can read an 80-page book. And now I can read 150-page book. So, yeah, so the... The size of the book and the amount of text in it is actually personal. Like, oh yeah, no, I read 1,000-page books all the time. What are you talking about? So yeah, in terms of like growing up with books, the bigger the book, the better you were, kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, I think in a personal sense, like other than finding a book that was like a personal epiphany, it was like a personal sense of pride. That I could read 1,000-page book in 2 days. You know what I mean? Or just digest it all. You know, when you're a child, you just digest things, you know, and spit it out. So, I mean, I read Tolkien. I read The Hobbit in second grade. A very hard book for a second grader to digest. And I finished all The Lord of the Rings by at least fourth grade.
Well,
probably before that. But I probably would have read all of it. I had.
You like it?
Yeah, by that time I had gone through Tolkien and I had gone past him into newer guys like Piers Anthony or, you know, some of the other newer science fiction writers. Asimov, of course, you know, all of that. I read like 1984 by the time I was in fifth grade. You know what I mean? So, like, just. That personal sense of pride. Yeah, I read that book. Yeah. You felt older in some way. You know, you felt like you were more of an adult because you had, you know, you knew what your parents were talking about, kind of thing. You know, so that was for me.
I guess that doesn't change if you've read it online. I'm just wondering if that's experience that will have disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, if you read online and if you read a textbook,
online, you don't have the heft of 1,000-page tome.
Well, that's right. You do not.
So it's all just on that same iPad, but that heavy book, you know, it's like, yeah, following the footsteps of like Shakespeare, where like I read Shakespeare, you know.
One thing for me about books as opposed to online, I know when I was teaching art, that I would only allow my students to have 2 maximum online references. The other references had to come from books. And the reason I was very specific about this is because if you are looking at a book that contains any kind of history or referencing, then it puts what you're looking for and looking at into context. Because you haven't Googled the specific something. You find it and you wrap it around all the other areas of study that relate to that one. And that doesn't happen online. Because you pigeonhole something and you pull it out and you look at it and you never see it back inside. And that to me is a critical problem with online searching. You pick up a book and you're looking through and you're looking for the thing you want. You say, oh, this is, I see. You can make connections. It doesn't happen online.
But you know what, it's a skill. I don't think people, this may not even apply to life anymore, but if I've read a book and I remember something that I want to reference, I know generally what side of the page it was on. And so I'll leaf through, you know, and be like, it was somewhere in this area. And then I just start looking at the right-hand sides of the page, and I scan down. And you can, I think that, yeah, I read a lot faster. Whereas online, I'm constantly refocusing, I think. Especially when you turn those pages, it kind of like, that's a refocus. But yeah, I mean, that helped me tremendously in my master's program, because even though it was online, and all these people, I'm sure, were just getting whatever online, I, like, remember something I read, like, 10 years ago. I still have the book, because I save all my books. And I'll go right to it, you know, and I'll just flip. That's what I want, you know what I mean? And then you get the context of exactly what I was remembering, you know, because I don't have a good memory, but I have a good spatial memory.
Do you visit library?
Not anymore. But I used to. Because I used to work with homeless youth in D.C. And we used to take them to the libraries all the time. Because it's the only place where they can A, access internet, B, find anything. You know, and it was a place where we could open up their minds. But yeah, I don't think that I've actually used the library in a long time because of the downloading issue.
And my daughter has two small children, and she takes them to the library all the time, so that they can choose their books. And you know, they love the idea of picking the ones they want. The only thing they don't like now that the eight-year-old is reading a lot, she hates the fact the book has to go back to the library.
Oh yeah.
She wants to keep it.
Keep it.
Yeah. But the library has been very critical to their love of learning and reading, which wouldn't have happened if they'd only had the books that they could buy. So the library's been really good for that.
And that's, I mean, that's good, because, I mean, we're talking about a generational issue. Because kids these days don't go to a library unless they have to. Like, I mean, my kids, they don't have internet at home, so they have to go to a library if they want to use internet or computer, you know? But when I was a child, there was obviously no internet, no phones, no anything like that. You had to go to a library. If you wanted to find a book, you had to go to a library. And when I was a kid, I was exactly like that. My mom would be like, all right, we're here for an hour. Pick out three books. You get three books, you know? And sometimes you get, like, a book on tape, or you get a movie, because they used to have VCRs back then, you know, tapes. So, you know, that was like a one-stop shop for all of our entertainment, you know, because my parents aren't having enough money to buy stuff, you know, or whatever, so they're just like, yeah, get it from the library. Want to watch a video? Yeah, go ahead. Get it from the library, you know, so for me growing up, it was very much as what, you know, she described about her children, but I think now it's kind of changed. Because kids don't go to the library to just research, you know, oh, I had a paper. You have to go to the Eastchester Public Library if you want to write your paper, you know. There's just no other way to do it, you know.
I mean, yeah, a lot of the encyclopedias in the internet right now, you can just search it, you can just Google it. Nobody just go through all the papers.
Well, they don't even make Encyclopedia Britannica, doesn't even publish anymore.
Yeah.
They're all online. They don't publish a paper book anymore. I think they stopped last year, 3 years ago. And my dad, still to this day, you can write this in your paper, has his Encyclopedia Britannicas. He's got three sets, one from like 1963, one from 1970 something, like when he went off to college.
Yeah, that's.
And he still has them. And like, Dad, nothing in here makes any sense anymore. Like, they've totally disproved this entire book. Totally been disproved by science. You know what I mean? <It's> like, so you're kind of like, oh, and he's like, no. I certainly do.
Yeah, why do you need to collect those books? I mean, you can get it online.
It's nostalgia, and I know where my references are.
Okay.
So, like, for my history books, right? I know what history books I wrote. I don't have to go online and reinvent the wheel. I already read that book, and I probably already outlined something in it. So if I just go over to my medieval history books, I got three ones on villages, right? And then it's like, okay, well, it's the red one, I think it was. And you flip to the red one and you find your, you know what I mean? It's, I've already worked them, you know? I've already created the network so to speak, right? All I need to do is remember which book it was in, and I can go right back to the thought that I stopped 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I think for me, that's the biggest draw to having the books is nostalgia. A, I've read all of these books. You know what I mean? And then you get to visualize all the books you've read over your lifetime. But also, like, yeah, like my history books, I've marked them. And there's some times when I don't remember something, and I'm like, wait, let me go back. You know, and I know exactly what book it is. So, yeah, so for me, it's referencing and just nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, the bookstore, it's all going online, right? So what do you think the future of bookstore will be like? Will they be in existence and serving a society as a bookstore where you can go and buy textbook? Or it will start selling to online and, I mean, the what do you think the future of bookstore will be?
Well, paper's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I think magazines, journals, that kind of stuff, I think they've proved that you're just not going to be able to sustain a paper industry anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think the bookstore as it exists today is not going to be in existence 5-10 years from now. If it is, it will be somewhat like what Barnes & Noble is turning it into a cafe, a place where you can go and look at stuff and read stuff and take it off the shelves and put it back, you know, because... Yeah, they're not going to be publishing. 10 years from now, they're not going to be publishing paper books.
Do you think, will that impact the reading experience of people?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for all the reasons we just said, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I know.
But they'll have a different reading.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what it's like to hold a book.
Mm-hmm. What it's like to go to the bookstore and buy books.
I mean, I think there still will be books. There'll be a kitsch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there will still be people printing books. But you're not going to get John Grisham printing 10,000 copies of his book. Mm-hmm. You're going to get maybe a limited edition where you can pay extra for a hard copy John Grisham book, maybe signed. You know what I mean? Everything else, you just go to John Grisham's website and download it in 3 seconds. You already got the whole trilogy. You know what I mean?
You lose a whole lot for something, but I guess you gain for something different. I don't know what the something
is.
Well, I think what you gain is greater access to more books. Because when you go into a bookstore, you're only limited by how many writers you know and what books you know, right? And everything else is a mystery. And that's kind of why you want to open them up and sit in the cafe and read it because, oh, well, I know John Grisham, but this other guy, G.A., right? Gasham, John Gasham, I don't know anything about him. So maybe I'll open up his book and look, you know? And online, I think you can search a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitely easier to search those books, but I don't know. I think what you...
I don't think it will. I can't imagine...
What you lose in nostalgia, you gain in searchability, in accessibility, you know, because at your fingertips, and a library has to order all those John Grisham books. You know, if they don't have the complete set of John Grisham, you know, you're kind of out of luck. Right? And if you don't know much about John Grisham, then you don't know what you're missing in his books. But if you go to John Grisham's website, you're going to have his whole bookography, and be like, oh, well, that one, you know, is out of print or whatever, I want to find that one. I mean, I think you gain greater access, but you do lose the nostalgia. But I also...
More than just the
but you democratize kind of book reading. People aren't like, oh, well, you didn't read John Grisham. Well, you don't know anything about books, right?
I think if we lose bookstores, then maybe we'll gain libraries. So there's another place.
I mean, there has to be a repository.
In terms of the visual arts, for instance, I can't imagine not being able to have an art that gives me access to an image of the work that I want to look at. I don't want to look at it on a screen. I want to be able to look at it in a different way. So I think it makes a difference.
But I think art, I think the making of books will be more of an art. And what you could gain is more of an old school artistry in terms of, you know, how back in medieval times, they were very expensive to produce because someone had to copy them. So they would embellish them, they would draw pictures, paintings, put, you know, bind them creatively, you know what I mean? And I think with the advent of the printing press, what they did was they democratized the book and allowed everyone to have one, but they made it less of an art form and more of just a commodity. Whereas now it's coming full circle and it's becoming less of a commodity because you can go online and do it anytime. But then it's becoming more of an art form because people will be looking at the pictures, at the cover art, you know what I mean? And the whole thing with fantasy books in the 80s and 90s was cover art. You know, that's the Dungeons and Dragons bread and butter, right? The quintessential, you know, girl in the bikini with a sword, right? That's a killing the dragon or something like that, you know? I think we're going to just come back to that artistry of the art of making a book. You know, it won't be so much about the text anymore because you can get the text anyway. It'll be about the actual feel of the book. It'll be, hey, you know, digital books with covers and pages, right? You know, things like that, I think. Well, and it's also the big part, and this is, I think, what the ultimate issue with the bookstore is, it's the economy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? People can't afford to buy a $22 hardcover book, you know? I mean, I had a huge thing with Robert Jordan. He was a big writer, a fantasy writer, right? And so I resolved to buy every single book when it came out in hardcover. It's very expensive. Now I've got 15 huge hardcover tomes sitting in my parents' basement, right? But, you know, people these days don't want to spend.
When you go to a bookstore, there will be a lot of cashiers, a lot of people helping you, right? Did it change your experience?
You know, I was kind of odd. I was an odd bird. I was always reading. So I never really asked for help in a bookstore. I always knew what I wanted. So I never, unless I absolutely couldn't find a book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then you go to the help desk. But choosing a book for me, especially when I was younger, was a very individual thing that I didn't want anyone's help with, A, or B, I just didn't,
you didn't want to.
I just didn't want to ask. Yeah, exactly. I could do it myself. I could find a book. So no, I never really asked for help in a bookstore unless I just didn't know where it was.
But I think a good bookstore with good sales assistants who can point you in the direction of books that you wouldn't have thought of looking at is something you will never get online, which seems to be the, is it this or this? The competition is here or here. But I think that's the value of any good shop, is whether or not the people working there know their products. And they are familiar enough to be able to talk to you about the product. In Barnes & Noble, or maybe it's in Waterstones in England, I forget whether they do it in both, they will often have on the shelves staff favourites.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And so you know that the people in there working in there have read these books, and so they're recommending them. And that makes a big difference. Just like book clubs. Book clubs are another thing too. Book clubs are quite popular. And they are very much, I think, an experience about people having a hard copy and sharing, because you've got the hard copy in front of you. You go.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for helping me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Did we help you?
Yeah.